Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
I'm so glad you chose that song, Amelia, because it fits in perfectly with the psalms that I'm going to share with you this morning. I'm not going to keep you long, but we've been doing this over the past few weeks, sharing on psalms, and we think this is the last week we're doing. I want to share from you the last two psalms in the book of Psalms. I'm going to read them quickly and then going to share a few thoughts with you. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Then it says, Amelia, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise his name with dancing. Somebody once asked me, can Christians dance? Well, some can, some can't. praise him accompanied by the tambourine and harp, for the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie in their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to exercise the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of the faithful ones. Then Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Then Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his almighty heavens. Praise him in his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the hint of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that has everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Right in the middle of the Bible, we have this collection of songs and poetry, the book of Psalms. It's right in the middle of God's revelation to us. We have this wonderful book. It begins with a solemn warning, by the way. I didn't even realize that the very first two verses of the book of Psalms tells you that you either have to choose the way of the righteous or you have to choose the way of the unrighteous. It says there are two ways to life, the way that leads to eternal life and the way that leads to eternal death. And a choice has to be made. If you choose to walk the way of the righteous, then all these psalms apply to you. If you choose to walk the way of the unrighteous, then none of them apply to you. For instance, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. If you choose to walk the way of the wicked, that doesn't apply to you. He's not your shepherd. Amen? He is our shepherd. We are sheep. Did you know that God has two sheepdogs? They're called goodness and mercy. They shall follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd, look at. Lord, you have been our dwelling places in all generations. If you're walking the way of the righteous, you can say amen to that. And he has been our places. Amen? This is the one I like, Psalm 139. I always think of this one when I'm flying on long distances. It says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you are there. And your right hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. You can't claim that unless you're walking the way of the righteous, unless you've submitted your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and are become born again. This doesn't apply to you. But they do apply to you. But if you're not walking the way of the righteous, none of these things apply to you. Amen. Now, we come to the Psalms 149 and 150. You find we start off with singing to the Lord a new song, and the rest of the Psalms deal with a new spectrum of life, a whole spectrum of life. When you look through the book of Psalms, you see that some of the psalmists reach the depths of despair. Why are you cast down, O my soul? The next verse says, but God is my help. Amen. You read the heights of joy. But as you read through this wonderful books of Psalms, you come to the last five Psalms, which are called the Hallelujah Psalms. They're Psalms of solid praise. Yeah. I mean, they're known, as I said, as the Hallelujah Psalms. You know, there are only two words in the whole world that are the same in every single language. Even the name Jesus is different in some languages. But there are two words in the whole world, in every language, that are the same. Hallelujah and Coca-Cola. You can go anywhere in the world and shout hallelujah, and Christians will turn around and then acknowledge you. Amen. But they are hallelujah psalms. I want to, as I talk about these last two, Psalm 149 and 150. Amen. 12 times in the Psalm 150 we are told to praise the Lord. In Psalm 149 we are told to praise Him with a new song. And then God likes to hear you sing a new song. Sometimes we get so sentimental with our old songs and they just become words. We don't really think of what we're singing about. When we said we're going to dance like David danced, how many danced? We're just singing words like sing the Lord a new song, amen. Praise Him in the assembly of the saints. Praise God, we did that this morning. God loves to hear His children sing in unity. God loves to hear His children sing as one. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Amen. Verse 4 says, for the Lord takes pleasure in His people. I love that. Again, the test of true worship is not that I enjoy the worship this morning, but that God enjoy the worship this morning. I mean, I hope you did enjoy the worship so far. It's been lovely like it. But the most important thing is that God enjoy it. That He get pleasure out of it. Amen. That's the most important thing. Oh God, when we worship You, may we please Your heart. May we be joyful unto You and make Your heart joyful as you respond to us. But yeah, it's the thing that I found so important that makes the psalm special to me. First of all, it says, let the saints be joyful in their glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. It's one thing singing here in church. How many of you go home and sing in the shower and in the morning when you before you go to work? How many do that? Maybe it'd help you lose the anointing on a Monday morning if you sang before you went to work in the shower. Amen. And sing on their beds. Let the saints, as I said, that's my interpretation, sing in the shower. Amen. But do you sing while you drive to work on Monday morning? Ladies, do you sing to the Lord when you're drying the dishes, all the dirty dishes that your family have left dirty? The late Billy Graham, his wife had a sign in her kitchen that said, divine services here, held here three times a day. Amen. We need to worship the Lord in church, but we need to worship Him in our private lives as well. Amen. There's something, build something special in your spirit. In Psalm, this is what I want to share with you this morning. Psalm 149, to me, I couldn't make out. But you get this whole lot of business about praising the Lord, and suddenly you turn from a concert into a conflict. It says here, you get there, praise the Lord, and sing praises to the Lord, and all of a sudden, you get to the sense, let the praises of God in their mouths, and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles. Right in the middle of this praise song, you get this. It's almost, as I said, if you're going from a concert into a conflict. And I always puzzled about this. And then the Lord showed me this again. Praise is the most one of the most important weapons you have in your spiritual warfare. It's to have a song in your heart and a sword in your hands. You know, when Israel went into battle, they used to put the singers right in front. Not because they would be slaughtered or anything else like that, but they knew that praise was one of the most important weapons in spiritual warfare. And I found this out as well, sometimes when you've had a bad day, or sometimes when things aren't going well, the last thing you want to do sometimes is sing praises to God. But I found as you begin to sing praises to the Lord, as you do so, when you're driving to work, it builds something in your spirit. And it changes the whole spiritual atmosphere of yourself. Yeah. It's not just on a Sunday morning, but I found in times of distress, is to put on some Christian music and just begin to sing. Yeah. There's some wonderful songs out there that if you learn and you listen to them and you build your spirit, you build your spirit up like it, and somehow the burden gets lighter as the day goes on. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning. I found you can do it in your own home, you can do it driving to work, you can do it sitting in the bus even. You can do it. It does something to your spirit. This whole business, as I said before, our greatest weapons is a song in our hearts and a sword in our hands. Amen. And that's helped me so many times when I've gone through troubled times is to find some good Christian music and sit down and listen to it. There's some wonderful music there. And to make that part of your spirit in the battle that you have to face every day. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. One more thing. I love this. I can't remember the exact name. But in Switzerland, there's a very high mountain. And it's very, very popular with tourists. And the first part, you have to go up by cable car, and then it gets to a certain point, and then you have to climb steeply. You have to make your way up to the top. You can't see the top until you get right over the top. And as you get over the top, they have a huge sign on top of the mountain that says that everything that has breath plays the Lord. That's the last verse in Psalm 100, the last book in the book of Psalms. Let everyone who has breath praise the Lord. You can imagine climbing a mountain and getting on top of it. And let's praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, David.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you can see me at the back. Yes, please. The psalm I'd like to talk about today is very dear to me. And I've struggled with it for a long, long time. It's Psalm 118, verse 24. That's 118, verse 24. And it is, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, I don't always feel happy. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get out of bed and I'm not happy. And I don't want to rejoice. So I just thought, how should I rejoice when I don't feel like rejoicing? Big thing, isn't it? So I thought, if I keep saying it, maybe it will come to me. So, I thought I'd say it again. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." No, still didn't get it at all. And I just thought, I don't understand how some people can understand it and I don't. Why can't I understand this? So after a few days, I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go somewhere quiet. So I went somewhere quiet and I sat down and I said it again. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I just didn't get anything. So I said, "Lord, please help me understand this. Why can't I understand what the meaning is of this? There must be a meaning because I'm not getting it." And I had an amazing thing happen. The Lord actually spoke to me, and this is what he said. He said, "You woke up this morning, many didn't." And I thought, wow. That is amazing. Then he said something else. He said to me, "You have a roof over your head. Many don't." That is true. "You have food in your cupboards. You have food in your fridge freezer. I do. And I thought, wow. And then there was more. You've got clothes on your back, clothes in your wardrobe. I've got loads. It's true. And then I heard, you've got heating, you've got water. Many don't. And I just thought, wow. Things started to fall into place. And then there was more, so much more that was coming. And I just thought, what an amazing God that has actually spoken to me and showed me all these things. So how can you be grumpy and miserable when you're so blessed? When you've got so much more than so many people in this world. So this verse has given me so much encouragement. And every time now I feel grumpy, I go straight back and I read this and I just think about it, on how great and wonderful our Lord is and what he's done. So now when I say, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. But will you? Okay.